be the last shiur on the topic of Amir Lenochri. I just want to outline some of the outstanding issues we haven't really had time to address yet. I'm not going to do a full treatment, but just a little bit of a synopsis. First, as far as the halachos related to mail delivery and mail sending on Shabbos, so based on what we find in Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Simen Reish Mem Zayin, and the Chavar writes, Shaleich Adam Yigeret B'yad Eini Yehudi, Afilu Be'er Shabbos V'chashecha, you're allowed to send a letter with a non-Jew even right before Shabbos, V'husha Kasas L'damim, as long as he's not getting paid for his labor, he's getting paid for the job, V'vad Shaleich Yomer Lo She'yelech B'Shabbos, as long as he's not explicitly instructed to deliver or to travel on Shabbos, V'im Lo Kasas, and then if he didn't make this arrangement that he's getting paid a set fee for the job, then it depends on whether it's kviya beido or beir bemasa, whether there is a set postal system, or whether we're concerned that this guy is freelancing and he's going to end up doing more work for you on Shabbos if he doesn't find the intended recipient. So as a practical matter, in our centralized postal delivery system, we generally assume that as long as you have no need for something to be delivered or to be handled on Shabbos, you don't really care when it is handled or delivered, then you're allowed to put something in the mailbox, even Erev Shabbos in the afternoon. Michael?
To the receiving objects, like if you order something online?
Slow. Okay. Yeah, Avi.
From the perspective of how we receive mail is not right, how we send mail is not, it could affect if there's a stamp or the fact there's a postal system.
I think the issue is that there's a postal system. I guess in theory, if there's a postal system, but they required that you pay. The fact that there's a stamp is reflective of the fact that there's a postal system and it's everything's organized. So,
it's also like
kind of an unfair question.
And also, like Flemish in the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to talk about Flemish. It's also like, I mean, not like kind of like mail's likely to be going out there anyway.
So as far as receiving mail, that's potentially an issue. Although, if it's Esa Gemara and Beis Hakavdal and Beis Kafay and Aleph, that which we discussed previously, that which is isn't a problem with books, then it wouldn't be as much of a problem if it comes with chas kum. So mail is presumably not the mina b'mechuber, and arguably, leaving aside the as far as the muksa status, that's two deos in poskim the end of simon tav kuf tesvav mishabur sekatan ayin beis tav kuf tesvav sekatan ayin beis mishabur nachlas yantiv, that mishabur quotes Megillah. That presumably, as long as it's not yesh b'mina b'mechuber, it's not an apple that you pluck off the tree, then it might not be a mukzah problem, even if it originated when Shabbos Yantar began outside of the tchuk. Fine. Now, what about sending express mail before Shabbos? That's a bit of a different equation. Shmir Shabbos talks about this in Perek Lamed Aleph, Siv Kaf Aleph. Let's say you have something that you need to reach its destination right after Shabbos. So if you're going to send express mail delivery on Shabbos, it means that you want it to be delivered on Shabbos. That would be a problem. Presumably, even if you wanted to get there Sunday morning, but the reality is it's not just that this dry cleaner chooses not to open on Sunday, but even express mail, the whole system, the FedEx won't deliver on Sunday, so the only way of getting there on Sunday is to have it delivered on Shabbos. We're in a situation where it can't get to its destination by the intended time without dropping on Shabbos, that would be a problem. So we generally assume that you can send overnight mail on Friday to reach its destination on Shabbos, or if it's second day and the only way, so you can't send the most expedited form of mail to get there even 2 days after Shabbos if there's no way of it arriving without traveling on Shabbos, b'mitzias. Unless there are extenuating circumstances. The Chelkas Yaakov has a tshuva, Shmir Shabbos is Messiah. The Chelkas Yaakov Arachayim mentioned is Simen Samech Vav. So he entertains, at least as a snip lakula, in a situation where there's a major tzarach to have it delivered, so maybe we didn't really discuss, but there's a question that Achronim raised as to whether Amira la Amira is a problem. Amira la Amira is a problem. What about Amira la Amira? Meaning, you tell Sam to tell John to do the malacha for you. So usually we're machmirin that to assume that Amir Lamir is also a problem, but given that that is a discussion, poskim are mitzarev that as a snip. So in a situation where there may be a tzarev gadol, that the Chalkas Yaakov thinks that might be a snip to throw into the mix to allow sending something that is going to travel on Shabbos, because you're not telling the delivery guy to travel on Shabbos, you're telling the dispatcher to tell the delivery guy to deliver on Shabbos. So you're telling the FedEx office to have one of the delivery people put it on the plane and get to wherever he needs to go. So he suggests that it's a sniff, that even though we don't rely on Amir Lemira in a L'Chachila fashion, where there are other considerations, that could be thrown into the mix. So we had a case last year, in the Beis Din, of an emergency guest situation. What was the emergency? The guy was getting married on Sunday afternoon, and somehow the Messiah Commission only realized the Thursday before that he never gave a guest his first wife. So we had to arrange again on short notice. They were not in the same city. She was a distance away. So the only way this could have worked was to write the get in New York on Friday morning and to send it to the other state so that it would be able to deliver it on Sunday morning. The only way to get it there on Sunday morning is to overnight it so that there's a shot of delivery. So under the circumstances, Rabbi Willow thought that it would give a bagel and send the express mail on Friday. But that was only given the shas adchak nature of the case at hand. In general, we avoid sending express mail before Shabbos. Okay, Shmira Shabbos has the following discussion as well. Os Cafe, Paraglamin Aleph Os Cafe. What about a newspaper subscription where a newspaper is delivered on Shabbos? Let's say it's a newspaper that's printed on Shabbos. So leaving aside, which is not our topic, whether you're allowed to read a newspaper b'chlal on Shabbos, whether you're allowed to read a secular newspaper, whether you're allowed to read any newspaper, the Shtar Hedyotos issue, advertisements, Mefachim Memkars, many potential reasons that you couldn't read a newspaper on Shabbos. But assuming, for the sake of the current discussion, that there are parts of a newspaper that you can read on Shabbos, that there's something which could be of Shabbos use, let's say you have a subscription to a paper that's printed by Nachrim on Shabbos and is delivered on Shabbos, are you allowed to read that on Shabbos? So again, leaving aside the Shtar Yedotis issue, leaving aside the appropriateness of the material issue, leaving aside whether it's itself Muksa, or Schefter points out that the Tosef Ben Paris in Beis Adaf Gimel, where Tosef Ben Paris writes, the context is you have bread that was baked on Shabbos. So even though the raw material existed when Shabbos began, but if it's in a new form, Tosef Ben Paris assumes that that's considered muksa d'nola. So Rosh Hashanah thinks if you have a newspaper that's printed on Friday night, so it's true that the paper existed before Shabbos, but the paper didn't exist in its newspaper form. There was no print on the paper, it was just blank. So even if all the raw material exists before Shabbos, but the current configuration of that material was made on Shabbos, or Shefter thinks that's muksa d'nola, and that would be a muksa problem. So again, leaving aside all these other considerations, but as far as the actual delivery itself, so Shmir Shabbos assumes that Me'ikir Hadin, if you have a newspaper that's printed where the majority of the subscribers and readers are not Jewish, and it's being delivered in a place where there's an Erev, so, Me'ikir Adin, you'd be allowed to use that newspaper or read that newspaper on Shabbos, again, assuming we would navigate around all the other issues. And he does quote in the footnote a Tshuva the Maharam Shik, Arachayim Simen Kuf Kuf Gimel, that points out the following. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Kuf Hei Se'if Dalin, Simon Shin Kaf Hei Se'if Dalid. Pascha Afa Eino Yehudi La'atma B'Shabbos Yesh Osrim V'Yesh Matirim V'B'Shabbos Atchaka V'Sarach Mitzvah Kigon Sudas Bismilo V'Sarach Birchas Amotzi Yesh Lismach Al HaMatirim Ramah Abal Asr Litem Amos Me'er Shabbos. The Shi'itim of a pas b'Shabbos as a daita d'Yisrael kavet. The Rambam says you're not allowed to pay a nachri before Shabbos to deliver bread to you on Shabbos. Because if you're paying him to deliver it to you, that's considered a daita d'Israel. That's considered that he's doing it on your behalf. So our Rav Shiv points out that it should be the same thing with the newspaper. If you're subscribing to the newspaper, so you're basically telling the Navi you want to deliver it on Shabbos, so that's not the daita d'Nafshei, but that's a daita d'Israel. You're telling him you want it on Shabbos. Then he says maybe you could talk about Amira d'Amira, same thing we just mentioned before, that you're not telling the delivery guy to deliver it, you're telling the subscription service that you want the paper, and the subscription service tells the delivery guy to deliver it. So maybe that's Amira d'Amira. But the Maamar Sheikh says that you should really tell the Nachri or tell the newspaper that you don't want it delivered on Shabbos at all. That's what Mishmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman. Our Ayin Dalit, Shlomo Zalman told him that even if the majority of recipients are not Jewish, but they're still, so you'll say they're printing the paper anyway, so there's no added malacha done on behalf of Yisrael. No, you're printing more. The fact that you're printing more is considered malacha done on behalf of Jews, and Shlomo Zalman thought that you should not subscribe to a newspaper that's going to be printed and delivered on Shabbos. So says the Simcha Ben Amkar, the name of Ramosha, page 83, that you can't subscribe to a newspaper that's going to be delivered on Shabbos because you're telling the Nachri to do malacha on your behalf on Shabbos. And Stormbach writes, Chuvas Van Hagos Chelik Aleph Simer Reish Ayin Tes, Chuvas Van Hagos Chelik Aleph Simer Reish Ayin Tes, that if you tell them the Feirish that you don't want to deliver on Shabbos, and they deliver it anyway, then that's considered a daita d'nafshei. You told them you don't want it on Shabbos, they choose to deliver it on Shabbos anyway, then that's their problem, not your problem, and you'd be allowed to read it. Again, Rosh Hashanah isn't endorsing reading newspapers on Shabbos, but that's the tshuva, I think it's a little bit famous, where he writes, this is in his South Africa days, that people think that it's important to read the newspaper on Shabbos because there may be people of nefesh considerations. They have to know what's going on in the world because otherwise your life might be in danger. So he's dismissive of that because he says there are plenty of people who go away for Shabbos and they don't have a newspaper and they seem to survive just fine. So he wasn't convinced that there's such a people of nefesh consideration. But again, as far as this specific issue, leaving aside the propriety of reading newspapers on Shabbos at all, in general, he says, he thinks, that if you tell the Nafi Beferish you don't want to deliver it, and they deliver it anyway, then it would be mutter, because that's considered a daitid menavshei. In Rosh Hashanah citation of Shir Shabbos, even if you told him, it's not clear whether Rosh Hashanah would recommend reading it anyway. Avi.
According to the day of the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa,
yeah.
If you know the distribution printing center of the newspapers outside the Tchum,
right.
Would that make a difference?
That could make it worse, yeah. Even outside the Eruv. Can make it worse.
Which is not as most suburban areas.
Right. Now, if the majority of the readership is not Jewish, so and there's an area where you live, so then that may not be Marvi B'Shirim if it's all the same delivery truck. Once it enters the area, it doesn't make a difference whether there are 10 newspapers in the delivery truck or 100 newspapers in the delivery truck or car. So then the fact that it's printed at the area, but they had to bring it inside the area even just to deliver to the non-Jews, so then that could solve that problem. Sam?
So the idea of like saying not to print it, I mean not to deliver
right.
It to you, that doesn't mean that you're not doing anything else that may seem like you do want it, meaning like you could order a weekend subscription.
So if you could order, right, so if you could order a six-day subscription and not the Shabbos one, then yeah, then you do that. Or Okay. But I wasn't planning on talking about deliveries beyond that, but if you have a specific question, Michael, I can try to
answer. So let's say you have a case where you have, like, expedited shipping, but, like,
right.
Because it's free, so it makes it so either it's scanned 3 days or like a week.
So
you don't
should
really care if you get it on the second or third day. You just rather not wait until the week. You'd rather get it like on the fifth.
So if you're arranging for, you shouldn't arrange for it to be delivered after Shabbos. If it's just the they'll deliver it whenever they deliver it, and you just tell them to ship it. If you don't make specific arrangements, then that would be okay. But if you're going to dafka choose an option that's gonna be delivered on Shabbos, that should be avoided.
So let's say it says 2 to 3 day shipping, so maybe it'll fall on Shabbos, maybe it won't. Is that enough of a...
It's probably enough of a window that they can deliver whatever they want, probably. Mm-hmm. Okay. You couldn't dafka arrange for them to deliver on Shabbos because you want to deliver on Shabbos. Okay. And the second topic I want to talk about today is the notion of a shtar mechira, of a Jewish-owned business that wants to remain open on Shabbos and wants to engage a non-Jewish partner to allow the business to open on Shabbos under the direction of this partner. So the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah Daf Kaf Beis Amud Aleph, the very end of the first parak, the Gemara has the following. Esav Avinu L'Rav, just jumping in out of context. You saw the Ovid Kachav and Shekiblu Sad B'Shutfus. If a Jew and a non-Jew receive a field B'Shutfus, Lo Yomer, you saw the Ovid Kachav and Tol Kalkachav B'Shabbos Vani B'Chol. So the Jew should now say to the Nukri, you take your portion on Shabbos, I'll take my portion during the week. In his name it's Tila Mutter. But if they make the stipulation before they enter the Shutfus, that's Mutter. Says Rashi, Shekiblu Sada Barisusa Mibalabai, so we're talking about sharecroppers. So they're entering into this sharecropping arrangement, the Shutfus. Misha Kiblua Hutla Al Shneim Lasak Babiyaka. And upon entering into this sharecropper relationship with the Balabayas, they both have responsibility to work the land together. Lo Yom Yisrael, Tal Atakalkacha B'Shabbos. So the Yisrael shouldn't tell the Nukri, so you are responsible for working the land on Shabbos. Lefisha nasa shlucho al chatzi ayom v'tevelav, because that way you're making the nukri into your shaliach for the portion of the day that you're responsible to work the land. The conception over here is that, or the concept over here is that if there are arisim b'shutva, so each one is responsible for working the land for part of each day. So if you're going to tell the Nukri, you take care of Shabbos, so it's like he's your shaliach to do work for you on Shabbos. However, the Emhisnu B'Tchila, Kodeshit L'Lav, that if they make the stipulation before they enter into the agreement, then Mutter, the Lo Kibo Ola Yisrael Avoda the Shabbos, Ve'in Ova Kacham Shulcho, because in that situation, the Yisrael never accepted upon himself to have any involvement in the enterprise on Shabbos, and if not, that the Nukri is functioning as a shaliach of Yisrael, the Nukri is simply the only one that has any connection to this land on Shabbos, because that was the initial stipulation. So that's reflected in Shulchan Aruch here in the beginning of Simen Shin Kafei. Mutter l'zamin einu Yehudi b'Shabbos.
I'm sorry.
In the Reish Mamei. Thank you. Was that what you were going
to
say?
I was trying to figure out which one
I'm going to say. Yeah, sorry, Reish Mamei. I had Shem Mamei open from before. Reish Mamei. Yisrael ve'inu Yehudi sheyesh lehem sada otano or merka, sorry, chayim shamayim b'shutfus. You have a Yisrael and a non-Jew that are partners in the operation of a business, a field, an oven, a merka. O sheyem shutfun b'chanus v'schora, or a store. Im hisnu mitchila b'shah shavo l'shtatev sheyesh chara shabbos einu Yehudi l'vadus. If they make the stipulation before they enter into the agreement that the Schar Shabbos is going to go to the Nukri, Im At Im Harbe, the Schar Yamecha can have Yom Shabbos as well, and then in turn, another day of week will be the exclusive domain of the Yisrael. That's Mutter. But if you don't make that tonight ahead of time, things get a lot more complicated. Okay. So if one were to enter into a business partnership with a non-Jew, and the conception would be that the business would operate on Shabbos, then the way to allow for that would be for these stipulations to be made in advance of the partnership coming through. Michael.
Is it necessary for the Yisrael to say, I'm going to get a specific day or a suspicion that they'll order the days they'll share? And the Goy will get the specific Shabbos and the days they share. The formulation sounds like the Yisrael also has...
Right, well that's what it says in the Gemara. Yeah, I guess theoretically that could work. Okay. Now, the situation, the literature of what we call a Shtar Mechira goes back a couple hundred years to the situation in Europe where you had Jews that purchased concessions in certain cities, villages. They would have the exclusive concession to sell a certain product, and either the situation may have been where the only way to get the concession would be if it would be open on Shabbos, or the product could be sold on Shabbos, or without that concession or without this arrangement, a given Jew may not have any pernas at all. So that was what spurred literature about whether there's a way to construct a situation where a non-Jew could be a partner in an enterprise after the fact and basically be the owner of the enterprise for Shabbos that would allow it to function on Shabbos. So in the Yesod Yishurin with Gedalia Felder's volume 3 of Shabbos, and Marachas Hilcha Shabbos, so he quotes here in the piece on Shtar Mechira that the Rishna Rebbe was imprisoned by Nikolai I, and after they were able to get his release, he was hurried out of the country, and he went to Austria. And in order to be safe in Austria, he had to become an Austrian citizen, and it sounds like the way to become a citizen was to become a landowner. So they bought him a certain town, village in Austria, and together with ownership of that town, I may be getting some of the details wrong, but I'm just repeating what he says here, the condition for ownership, or together with the package of ownership of this town, was responsibility for the local whiskey concession. And the situation was such that that whiskey concession needed to be open on Shabbos. So they sent this Shabbos to Shlomo Kluger as to whether there's a way to allow for that, to have the whiskey concession under the supervision of the Rishna Rebbe open on Shabbos. And Rav Shlomo Kluger was not a fan of looking for any kulos in this regard. And then he quotes, we'll talk in a minute about the position of the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim has a couple of shubas in which he indicates, even though he's not at all enamored by looking for kulas, there are certain extenuating circumstances that where it may be appropriate or possible to have a shtar mechira done. And he writes over here that his son, the Shinover, his oldest son, was very opposed to this under any circumstances. And the Shinover went to visit his father to discuss this, and they were having a heated argument. And at one point, this must have been much better in Yiddish, but at one point the Divrei Chaim said to his son that I don't want you to ever walk through the door of my home again. So the Shinover, who was very devoted and into his kibbutz, jumped out the window because he didn't want to violate his father's command to never walk through the door again. A few months ago, there was a parlor meeting in Passaic for Yeshiva Shara Torah Grunda, Gamin Epstein spoke. It was at the house of somebody named Halberstam, who was from the descendants of the Divrei Chaim and the sons of the Rebbe, Babel dynasty. So he's telling stories of the Divrei Chaim and the family. So he said that the Shinover was the misnagdim of the family, the Rebbe in his own right. He said when Blaine McGillan, the retirement based Medrash, whatever Kavanas they did after Rebbe left, or after the Rechai left, and the Shidiver would say, whoever wants to really be Yossi now should listen to me. Anyway, so what's this all about? So the Rav Avner writes, Shevet Levi Chela Gimel Simin Kaf Gimel, that there are really three kinds of shutvasim, three kinds of situations of partnership. Shevet Levi Chela Gimel Simin Kaf Gimel. So the first type of partnership is a public partnership, where everyone knows that the Jew and the Nachri are equal partners. That's what we're talking about in the beginning of Simen Reish Mem Hei. In that kind of situation, if you have a business that's open on Shabbos, there's no Maariv Ayin, because everyone knows that the Jew and the Nachri are both equal partners in the enterprise, and they could work out a situation that's halakhically acceptable. You could also have a partnership number two, where the Jew is a silent partner, basically known as a non-Jewish business. The Jew funds a business, he gets profits, but it's known as a non-Jewish business. So there's no concern of Maariv Ayin. And then the third category, which is a problematic one, is where the non-Jew is a silent partner. The Jew is a real force behind the business, the non-Jew is a silent partner. And there's a consideration of Maariv Ayin. So even if you're going to construct a potentially halakhically valid Shtar Mechira, where the non-Jew owns the business for Shabbos, but in the public perception it's a Jewish business, and you haven't gotten around the Maariv Ayin consideration. So he says that's why there is a major reticence on the part of Poskim to endorse a Shtar Mechira, because of the Zilzul Shabbos involved, the Maariv Ayin involved, and the kinds of situations in which Poskim were matir were situations of major hefsed, where if the person didn't have a kula, he basically starved to death. So those situations, Poskim in Europe entertained the land for Shtar Mechira, but short of that, he doesn't think that there is generally sufficient grounds, and he says this is something that's often abused. The Rav was known for being very opposed to any Shtar Mechira as a kind of inappropriate harama, under basically all circumstances. So what are the calculations l'kula? So the Divrei Chaim in Chelek Aleph Siman Zayin of Orach Chaim, Chelek Aleph Siman Zayin, points to the sugya in the beginning of Shabbos of Chatei B'Shvusha Tizka Chavercha, that even though in principle he thinks that it's a bad idea under most circumstances, and there's a Maariv Ayin consideration, even if you effect a halakhically valid mechira, there's still a Maariv Ayin consideration. But at least according to some of the Rishonim, you see in that sugya the notion of allowing for an Isser Kal to save from an Isser Chamor. So if the choice is that people are going to be Mechal Shabbos more egregiously if you don't allow for the Shtar Mechira under certain circumstances, then he thinks that there is what to talk about. The model for that is a comment of the Mordechai, which is reflected in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Mem Hei Siv Vav. So there the Mordechai allows, Reish Mem Dalet Siv Vav. To look at it in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Mem Dalet Siv Vav, Yehudi Akonim Meches, so there is a Jew who bought the concession to collect taxes in a certain area. So he paid off the ruler of the town, he has the right to collect taxes, and he'll have to pay a certain percentage of the taxes collected to the governor. So Yehudi Akonim Meches Umaska Wa'ena Yehudi L'Kabel Meches V'Shabbos. So he wants, either he wants to, he needs to, be able to collect taxes on Shabbos. So Mordechai says, you can have a non-Jew hired as a kablon to do that. Imu v'kibolas. The Hainu, she'omer lo, kishetigba me'a dinarim etin l'chokafakach. So if the Nachri is hired as a kablon, such that the more money he collects, the more money he makes. So he's operating a daita d'nafshei. The Nachri is engaged, he is incentivized, rather, to make more money, but he isn't penalized if he doesn't make any money. So that's totally a daita d'nafshei. So the Mordechai has a kula in that situation that is reflected in Shulchan Aruch. So the Divrei Chaim writes that the notion of Shulchan Aruch is something along these lines. You could find a halakhically acceptable way of having the Nachri run the operation, at least officially, on Shabbos, even though it's not an optimal situation, but just as a Mordechai, even though we're reluctant to expand the Mordechai beyond where he said it, but under exciting circumstances, the Divrei Chaim thinks there's what to be makel of that. He says, if we're not concerned that you're going to come to Isser Chamor, so then you shouldn't be Mako, but if there's a legitimate concern that because of the Dovah or Parnasa, people are going to do worse, then he thinks there's what to rely on to allow for a Shtar Mechir. It's far from a ringing endorsement, but it's a allowance. If you look in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, Chasam Sofer Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, so he talks about a situation of a Jew who bought the salt concession, and he's the only one in town who's allowed to sell salt, and if he's going to close, and he's never allowed to close, the condition of the concession is that it has to be open every day around the year, so that people can buy salt, otherwise where are they going to get their salt from? So the Chasam Sofer suggests the best thing to do would be to sell a certain quantity of salt to a non-Jew and let it be known that if anyone wants to buy salt on Shabbos, they should go to the non-Jew and buy salt from him. So as long as the salt is available, it doesn't matter who's selling the salt, and if that satisfies the grantor of the concession, Chasam Sofer thinks that is the best solution because that avoids any halakhic problems. He acknowledges that maybe that's not possible. So if that's not possible, so then along the lines of these the Mordechai, maybe you could have a kablana situation where you hire a Nachri and tell him that he'll make whatever money based on whatever salt he sells, and that's a step removed from your active involvement in the business. Rav Sturmbach Shuvitz von Hagos Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Sadi Beis, Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Sadi Beis. So he writes that he almost never allows for a Shtar Mechira. There is one big city in England where the Rav used to allow Shtar Mechiras, and then the businesses are all open in Shabbos, and by the next generation, no one was keeping Shabbos anymore. So it's a bad thing. But he says, let's say you have a Baal Tshuva in the early stages of the of the process, and he feels it's important to bring him closer to Shmir Shabbos to allow for this, so he thinks that you can make an arrangement of a Shtar Mechira for no more than 1 year, with the understanding that it's not renewable, and then he has a Nusach. Moshe has a Nusach, a couple Nusachs for Shtar Mechira. We at the Beis Din have a Nusach in English, based primarily on Rav Moshe's Nosach, which we always send out upon request with a cover letter saying that Rav Soloveitchik was adamantly opposed to the issuance of a Shtar Mechira under any circumstances, but here it is anyway. Avi.
I think a lot of Shtar Mechira that are used, do you guys have statistics on that in the basement?
I can tell you how often someone asks for a copy, maybe once or twice a year. The situation in America is far from the situation in Europe. We're not, typically speaking, someone's not going to die from starvation or be impoverished if the business can operate on Shabbos. So under most circumstances, it's not, if you have a legitimate shuppas, a legitimate shuppas, and it's not a business that's known as a business of a Jew, so then, there may be more to talk about, at least at the early stages of the business is being set up, of arranging for a way, but these are not lechafilos. So.
And the machmir would say that I should never purchase from that person who uses it, like on Sunday or.
I don't think so.
I mean, they say you could buy from it.
What would the concern be? You should be misayel and doing okay favor by supporting people. I mean, if you would say you shouldn't support a machal Shabbos, or I guess it's a matter of degree.
No different than that.
I mean, probably better than machal Shabbos because there is legitimacy behind it. Will you not support someone who? Maybe you could draw a whole range of things, activities that you don't support. So do you want to financially sanction people who do the? Okay, that's your prerogative. I don't. I mean, there is some. I guess there's some discussion about not supporting Machal Shabbos. Does anyone not go to supermarkets that are Jewish owned? I don't know. Yeah.
So we said that this Shabbat here has to be at the beginning of the business opening.
No. We said that before business opens, you don't need a Shabbat here. That you could, if you have a legitimate shufis, so you can make arrangement before you start, that the Jew has no involvement in Shabbos. That's okay. That Shamar Thira is talking about a case where you have a Jewish business and you're looking for a loophole to bring some other non-Jew in so that he can nominally be the owner on Shabbos and engage in business on Shabbos.
So does this apply also when you're first, let's say, this is owned by a God, you want to get involved in business, so you want to buy into the business?
So if you... So that's what Shevet Levi pointed out. If you're buying into the business as the silent partner, but it's really known as a non-Jewish business, so then it'll probably continue to operate on Shabbos. If everything has to be some of this is case specific. Okay, I think we'll stop here, and the Zechina will be Mitzvah Hashem next Tuesday.